We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brought to you by Dos Equis, official beer sponsor of the college football playoff.
And of course, college football playoff, we remind you the semifinals are here this year. Semifinal game. And we'll see what the matchup will be in Atlanta. The other semifinal game will be at the Fiesta Bowl. In Glendale,
Fiesta,
Arizona.
Fiesta.
National title game is down in the swamp.
Oh, I forgot, can't sing that. Never mind. We just scratched that. Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl. That's going to be nice. It's going to be a nice bowl game. Makes me think of tacos. I don't know why. Is that, that's not no correlation Fiesta. Like, I'm thinking maybe a Fiesta salad, maybe, like with a taco shell bowl, maybe. Just, you know, spitballing here.
Is it still the Sunkissed Fiesta Bowl, Abe? Remember? I mean, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Maybe, I don't know. I guess that's 50 years ago. I don't know who sponsors these damn
long
teams.
Time ago.
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, when I think of Fiesta, I think of La Perilla in a nice little festive taco bowl with some
Tostitos.
Nice little margarita with a margarita.
Man, I still think of it as the Astro Blue Bottle Bowl, okay? I still think the blue-gray game is being played somewhere. College football is on tonight, and hasn't been, I guess, since 1990.
Okay. It's been a minute. That's a minute.
That's 30 years.
That's a minute. That's a little minute.
That's hilarious. Georgia Tech is idle this week and regrouping as they need to do before their game next week against Temple, which is Jeff Collins' old team. We'll be talking about that.
That should be
week.
A pretty good – that's at Temple or is that here? They're coming. Temple's coming to town? Do we know?
You got it right in front of you there.
You know what we got to? Well, let me see. Look at the Georgia. Let me look at the ACC schedule. Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Georgia Tech, they play off. Yeah. They go to Temple. They go up there. They go at Temple. So, yeah. They got North.
I'm sorry.
What was you about to say? Hey. But they got Carolina here the week after that, so that should be a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the Temple game, is going to be a good one.
Right. Georgia State will try and right the ship as they go on the road to Texas, down to the Lone Star State to face Texas State. Kennesaw State is at Missouri State. Kennesaw State, off to a nice start. Number six in the nation in 1AA for Brian Bohannon. But, of course, a lot of the attention is going to be focused in Hugh on what's going to be taking the big game tomorrow night on Friday night with Utah and USC.
That should be a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. Utah's undefeated, if I'm not mistaken.
They are number 10 in the nation.
Yeah, Utah, the Utes. I'm kind of rooting for them, pseudo rooting for them because an old teammate of mine, son, plays for Utah. Quarterback Jason Shelley. He's been playing a little bit this year. Played a lot last year when the quarterback got hurt. So yeah, Jason Shelley's son.
Yeah, Utah Utes and USC at the Coliseum tomorrow. So we'll see what Utah has. If they're going to make a run at being considered for the college football playoff, at this point, I think that they're going to have to be unbeaten. I don't know that a one-loss team, Washington's already lost, Oregon's already lost. And for the Pac-12 to have a chance here, they're going to have Utah probably run the table. Oregon, maybe if they really ran the table and just destroyed everybody from here on out, but that loss against Auburn's could come back to haunt them.
Yeah. And that's why I would say that probably the team that has the best chance right now, as of this, college football going into the fourth week, would probably be the Utes, Utah, right now, if they can get a chance to get over USC.
And then some other intriguing games include Michigan and Wisconsin, in Madtown, and that for whatever reason, this is a noon game. That leaves me scratching my head, Hugh, that Michigan and Wisconsin are a noon game?
After that game against Army, they probably like, no, we don't really know if Michigan, that squad we thought they were. Maybe that's the case.
I mean, I tell you what, Wisconsin, pretty good football team. Wisconsin so far this year has played two games. They've outscored their two opponents 110-0. They haven't let up a point all year. We'll see if Michigan has anything left. Boy, I tell you what, if this falls apart on Jim Harbaugh this year, after all the hype, about Michigan being the favorites of the Big Ten.
It almost fell apart for him a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Well, yeah.
Army. So, yeah. I know.
Get it right. Get it together.
Tennessee and Florida is an interesting game to me. I know that Florida's a two-touchdown favorite, and the Florida fans that exist here, Abe Gordon and Wendy and Bo Morgan and all the Florida fans, we have a lot of, for whatever reason, we have a lot of Florida fans that work here.
No, I don't went to Florida. Well, Abe's dad went to Florida.
Okay, there's at least a tie.
Hey, listen. Boy, I love you, but I don't understand that. I don't understand that Florida love. You went to Kennesaw State, dog. You need to be rooting for the Owls. And I can hear Bo right now is retorting. He can't. He doesn't have a mic, but he's probably calling me all kinds of names right now. He's about to send me an angry text. But I'm just saying, you root for the school you went to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I guess, but I think Bo is a Tim Tebow fan, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's a fan of Tim Tebow.
He's a Florida fan nonetheless. I mean, Tennessee, Florida, that holds a little intrigue for me. That's another noon game, though. I mean, it's like, really, a noon game? But Tennessee, have they gotten their feet underneath them? Can they go down to Florida? You know, what does Kyle Trask look like now? He's the starting quarterback of the Gators. I don't know. This will be intriguing. I mean, I don't see this as being 45-10 or anything like that. I think it'll be a fairly close game, even though Florida's a two-touchdown favorite. Another big game, Auburn and Texas A&M, Hugh, in Kyle Field in College Station.
When you say Auburn and Texas A&M?
Yep.
What you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we find out a lot about Bo Nix and Auburn.
I'm looking over the games, too, because, John, you be glossing over some pretty good games. I understand you're looking for, the big, big-time games, but some of these other games be pretty decent. Like, some of the smaller market teams.
Uh-huh.
Like. Okay, I was going to reach for that one. The LSU Vanderbilt. I was reaching. Yep. I was reaching.
LSU Vanderbilt. Don't.
Hey, about to reach. Don't. About to reach for one. I'm going to reach for one. There's going to be something in here that's intriguing.
Yeah, what? I'm waiting. What?
No, hey, Michigan State Northwestern looked like that might be a pretty good game. Hey, wait a minute. Don't disrespect the smaller schools now.
But Michigan State's not a smaller school. I mean, Michigan State Northwestern's going to be 3-2.
The ones that we don't talk about that much.
It's going to be 3-2.
How about Troy against Akron?
John Chuckery, tell me about your Akron Zips. I have no clue about the Troy Trojans and the Akron Zips. None. Don't. That,
okay.
I mean,
hold up, though. Seriously, Central Florida and Pittsburgh might be a pretty good one.
No, Central Florida could cry. Well, Pittsburgh played better against Penn State than I thought they would. But
yeah, they did. That's what I'm saying. That might be pretty interesting.
But here's to Hugh's point here. You know, Central Florida over the last 2 years, right?
They've been giant killers.
Right. But they also had a problem. 2 years ago, they had a game wiped out against Georgia Tech by a hurricane. Last year, they had a game wiped out against North Carolina by a hurricane. So they didn't get to play those ACC teams. This is finally they get a chance because they're going on the road here to play an ACC team. Now, it may not seem like much to you, but we do tell you that Pitt did make the ACC title game last year. If Central Florida wants to make a case as an unbeaten team to be in the playoff, they have to go on the road, Hugh. They've got to go to Pittsburgh, and they've got to win this game by 4 touchdowns.
See? So I did find a game that was pretty intriguing. That should be a pretty good game, though.
You going to watch it over any of these, Abass?
And we're going to watch it over it's a 3:30 game.
Yeah, over Auburn, Texas A&M.
I flick the channels. Hey, listen, I'll flick the channels. It's
cough,
not like, but you know what? Seriously, watching college football, like, that's kind of what we all do. If you're watching the game at home, you're flicking channels. Your best bet is to, when you're watching college football, is to probably be in a space where they'll have all the games on. Kind of like the setup that Abe has.
No, I was going to say, your best bet is to be an unmarried single guy with 5 TVs.
I will flick the channels. Like, it will definitely be 2 to 3 TVs on in my domicile, my home, because I will probably tune in. I'll probably tune into the Pittsburgh-UCF game and the Auburn-Texas A&M game. And maybe, I was about to say that Ohio State-Miami. No, definitely not probably going to watch that game. It did, but those two games, I'll definitely have it on for those two, definitely.
Ohio State, Miami of Ohio will. I'm sorry. It's already over. I'm sorry. The game has ended.
Florida State, Louisville.
Oh wow, what a snore that is.
Yeah, that's probably really bad. Let me just stop. Let me just stop.
Man,
I'm really reaching
you
out.
Are.
I'm reaching.
All right. So to Notre Dame, Ian Book has come out, the Notre Dame quarterback, and he said this yesterday: "We believe in ourselves. We know what we do. We know our potential. So we're not worried."
You know what makes me nervous about this game is that smart money is on Georgia. Like, even Georgia's probably, well, obviously Georgia's betting on Georgia. But Notre Dame is coming in a little bit too humble for me. Like they got something up their sleeve. I don't really trust that. I don't really trust that. You know, they say, you know, beware Greeks bearing gifts or something like that. And everybody that we've talked to, for the most part, has not conceded the fact that Georgia's a better team. But the way that their conversation has gone has led you to believe that that is the case.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's a conventional wisdom, Hugh. I mean, now, I said, I don't know, probably, I was doing the college football game time show with Randy and Chuck before the season. It was a couple weeks before the season we did one, and I said at the time, I said, I think Georgia's just going to crush Notre Dame when they come down here. And I still believe that, but I don't like conventional wisdom because everybody, Hugh, is saying that. We just talked to Chad Millman of the Action Network. All the money's coming in on Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with
that's
conventional
what kinda got
wisdom.
Me nervous.
Yeah, right.
That has me a little nervous. And I think that, you know, with all that being said, still think Georgia's going to win, but I think it's going to be a much tougher game than people anticipate it to be. And I understand that, you know, Georgia has athletes coming out the woodwork, and, you know, you talk about the running back situation, and that's always a huge factor. But, man, like, the Notre Dame's approach throughout this whole process has been, like, you know, yeah, well, you know, we get them props. We know they're good. And, you know, they are. I just think that the Irish are going to –
look at SportsCenter right now. Can the Irish keep it close? Yeah, not the can Irish, they win.
Now, in the history the history of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, when they've been on the stage like this, they have gotten trounced. They've gotten trounced. But, you know, it's just that one time that they come to show up to play. This might be the one. Not saying they're going to win, but I think it might be closer than we anticipated it to be. It might be a 2-touchdown differential.
Which is right where the line is, right? Yeah, exactly.
No, I thought it was 3.
No, it's 14.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll give him a touchdown differential then. I think it'll probably be a touchdown differential.
You know, and normally I hate conventional wisdom, and so because everybody's going that Georgia's going to win in a walk.
That's a scary thought, yeah. Though. That's scary, like when you have everybody.
So I have amended that. I have amended the fact that I think Georgia's going to boat race them to this. I think Georgia's going to curb stomp them.
Ooh, curb stomp.
Yeah, I just think this Georgia team. See, this is just my impression as a college football fanatic and watching the games my impression is watching Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. Alabama's offense is some kind of special because of those wide receivers and then running backs and Najee Harris and Jerry Jeudy. They're some kind of special. Alabama's defense, I think they're maybe the 5th best defense in the SEC. Georgia is the most complete team offensively and defensively in the nation.
I will say this, and I said this last week. I think Clemson's secondary is a little suspect. I will say that. Was that game against Syracuse last week? They looked like there were some holes a little bit.
It is a Thursday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Carroll, our injury expert, standing by to update us on Caleb McGarry, Matt Bosher, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Darius Leonard, more. A lot of injuries to kind of run through. Will Carroll, we'll get the very latest on when we can expect to see some of these guys return and how effective they will be. We'll get that next after a CBS Sports Minute. Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this Thursday, getting ready for the NFL game tonight between the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, which you can hear on Sports Radio 99 The Game beginning tonight at 8. Will Carroll is our injury expert. He is brand manager for Modus Global. He's also a columnist for BetQL, and he joins us every week to bring us up to speed on injuries, and he has his plate full this week. Well, Carroll, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Certainly a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, no question about that. And the first person I want to talk about is Drew Brees. I heard it's something he called it. Is it a gamekeeper's thumb? And how long would that realistically keep him out?
Well, it's interesting. I actually wrote an article a couple of years ago about a new surgery that's called internal brace, where they use basically a little thing that looks like a shoelace to help the ligament heal. So you can come back from this very, very quickly compared to what used to be, where you'd have to reconstruct the ligament. A guy named Mike Trout, you might have heard of him. He's pretty good. Good young player, might be good someday. He had this a couple of years ago, came back in 30 days. So obviously he's not getting knocked around the way that Brees is. Certainly what we saw with the Aaron Donald kind of paw up in the air, that's going to be a risk. So I think it's going to take him about 6 weeks to come back from this. But this would have been a season ender just a few seasons ago.
We're talking with Will Carroll, a columnist for BetQL, about some of the injuries. You look at Ben Roethlisberger and being out, mm-hmm. and Hugh said, you know, you saw the elbow and went, yeah. You know, I mean, is this something you can come back from, you know, I mean, given his age?
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't said it. It's really strange the Steelers haven't come out and admitted it. But what he did was he tore a ligament in his elbow. It's the same UCL that we see all the time in baseball pitchers. And it's a very simple, easy surgery.
So it's Tommy John surgery, essentially, right?
Yeah, it is Tommy John surgery. That's 99% because of everything they said, the timeline, the surgeons he's talked to. I don't know why the Steelers haven't come out and said it. But, yeah, guys come back from this. It's not a common injury in football. Josh Allen last year had a partial tear, and he was able to come back in season. But guys like Jake Delhomme have come back from it. The age shouldn't matter at all because they're going to reconstruct the ligament. He's in good shape, and he said he intended to come back. Now, if you or I tore our UCL, you know, unless you're a thrower, you have no need for it. So mostly doctors would say, go on about your life because it really doesn't come into stress unless you're throwing. So Ben having the surgery means he's coming back, and yes, he has every chance to come back.
We're talking to Will Carroll, injury expert on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Now, Caleb McGarry. Now, we all saw mm-hmm. him leave the field, and then he came back like he had a Hulk Hogan surge of power. How does something like that happen? And basically, can you kind of guesstimate what was the injury with his knee?
Yeah, it was with his knee. It was a ligament. And, yes, adrenaline is a powerful drug. You'll see this happen. McGarry's one of those guys who, you know, he's kind of old school in his way of seems to want to not let his teammates down, not let his coaches down. Rather than more of the entitlement culture we see with people like Antonio Brown. That's not always good because, you know, did he come out there against the advice of doctors? No, they wouldn't have let him back out there if they thought it was bad. I think what they did was take him back, took a look at that knee using manual tests. Now, there's not an MRI in the stadium. There's only one stadium in football that has one, and that's kind of a quirk. It's the retail space that they had in Cincinnati. So they didn't do an MRI and say, you know, nothing is damaging here. But they were able to do the manual tests that the athletic trainers and the doctors do, putting their hands on them, stretching things and saying, you know what, maybe it's not this bad. How do you feel? The other thing is, during the game, you often see this with sprained ankles in basketball. As long as you're on them, they don't swell up as much. It's afterwards. And that's why we haven't seen McGarry back at practice. Managing that inflammation is going to be the tough part. The knee is stable enough. The other thing to keep in mind is there are four major ligaments in the knee. We often think of the ACL, but there's also the MCL, the LCL, and the PCL. With the MCL, which is the one on the inside of the knee, the medial collateral ligament, if that tears, normally they don't replace that. If you think back to Adrian Peterson's devastating knee injury that he's able to come back from, they didn't repair it. So he's running around with only three of the major knee ligaments.
Oh, well, that's going to be a problem then.
I didn't even know that, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're talking with Will Carroll, BetQL. The other issue for the Falcons, of course, is Matt Bosher, but I think that's really just rapid and heat and cold and whatever they do, and we have to just see how it is with game time. So we're going to have to spend a lot of
time. Yeah, that's just a healing
right,
response.
Right, that's just a healing response.
Yeah, groin strains are tough, especially for somebody who's using it the way he does.
Right. Darius Leonard, the star linebacker of Indianapolis. That's the big key here because their defense has – you know, been so good this year, and he has been, you know, this is one of these guys. Indianapolis has a couple of players. We were talking about Marlon Mack as a running back and Darius Leonard, that people so focus on the quarterback, they don't realize how good these guys are. I mean, Quentin Nelson's a premier player, and Darius Leonard's become a premier player, but he's in concussion protocol. Now, what does that necessarily mean here in terms of his ability to be able to play this week?
Yeah, it's about 50-50. You know, he had the injury on Sunday, obviously, so we know where it happened. And the NFL last year changed its concussion protocol from a five-step process of coming back. You do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, to a three-step process. The reason was they were doing two steps in a day anyway. So really what he has to do is be able to go out there, exercise without having symptoms, and then I think he has to be cleared by an independent neurologist. Now, that can happen on Sunday morning. People think it has to happen by Friday. Mm-hmm. Not true. So it's 50-50 whether he goes, and it comes down to whether or not he's symptom-free and whether or not he can convince the independent neurologist. So we just don't have any look at that from the outside. It's not like a broken leg. It's not like a gamekeeper's thumb where you can actually, you know, they showed Drew Brees' thumb moving around on the Sunday broadcast, and you knew pretty much what it was. Didn't have to wait at the MRI. We're just going to have to wait and see on Leonard. And he is so fast, so good going laterally, that if he's not out there, ooh, that could be a good day for Matt Ryan.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're talking to Will Carroll, injury expert. DeSean Jackson, this the one that hurt my fantasy league a little bit, Will. I'm going to tell you that flat out. Abdominal injury. Is that 2 weeks? Is that pretty accurate?
Maybe. They're worried this is more significant than it is. But he's in Philadelphia. Eric Fisher, the tackle for the Chiefs, headed to Philadelphia this week, and he's going to have what they're calling core muscle surgery. It's what we used to call a sports hernia. It's basically that muscle above the groin, very lower abdominal. Dr. Bill Meyer does a surgery, puts everything back in place, reattaches things, and you come back in about 6 weeks. They don't think Jackson is going to need surgery, but it's right on that edge. So they're going to watch it for about a week, 10 days. Definitely out this week. Also waiting to see whether Alshon Jeffrey plays. So Carson Wentz could have a lot less targets, and we could see that running back by committee have to go 30, maybe 40 touches, which is not good in the modern NFL.
Give me a quick 30 seconds on two guys here, Will. We had a lot of discussions. Sam Darnold and Mono. I mean, a lot of ways to get it, I guess.
Yes. I'm not going to speculate on how he got it, but why he can't play is it just absolutely saps your energy. And in many cases, including Darnold, the spleen really gets distended. So if you think about the spleen kind of like being a water sack, like a bladder, if he got hit and it burst, he could die. So you just can't play through the mono. If you think of this as possibly burst spleen rather than mono, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Cam Newton.
That foot is certainly problematic. He hasn't been moving very much. But the thing I worry about is he had two shoulder surgeries, very similar to what Andrew Luck had and kept him out of here. But he's played through it. If he doesn't have a good base, his throws look terrible. And right now, Cam just doesn't look like Cam.
All right, final question, Will Carroll. You're in Indianapolis. Colts fans excited for their home opener. Are they concerned at all about this game from the Falcons?
Definitely. So many injuries. Marlon Mack, you mentioned, probably isn't going to play. He's going to be a real game-time decision. Pierre Desir, anytime you're facing Julio Jones, it's problematic. But when you're facing him without your top two corners, that's problematic. So this is going to be a tough one. Plus, no Andrew Luck. Colts fans are still a little bit shaky. I think this is one the Falcons can take.
I do appreciate it. Thanks, Will. We look forward to talking to you next week and getting the very latest.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good one.
Will Carroll, of course, BetQL columnist and injury expert. Hey, the Sam Darnold thing kind of went from being funny to being pretty serious pretty quick.
Yeah, all that from kissing those random folks in New York he was doing, kissing. That's just nasty. Quit being so nasty.
Yeah, he could die. Oof, okay. Hey, it says on the Rundown News Roll.
That's why I have a potpourri of stuff. I'm going to talk about the new iPhone 11, and I'm going to talk about why everybody crying about quarterbacks because it's been like that forever. On the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
NFL. So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World is brought to you by Georgia's own Lit Ultra Premium Vodka, the smoothest vodka in the game. Get lit and live it today. Woo, I got a whole bunch of stuff that I want to talk about today. But before I get to all of that, I'd like to say happy birthday to my man, Trey Young. Trey Young's birthday is today. And, you know, just the FYI for all y'all out there, because of the weather, because it's been so hot out here the last couple of weeks in Georgia, and we haven't really experienced fall yet, we're going to push cuffing season back about 2 weeks. So, you know, we're getting ready for the cuffing season draft. Everybody's getting their preliminary, you know, signings getting done and all that other stuff. We're pushing the cuffing season back a couple of weeks because I noticed this, like, it was a hot girl summer, and it kind of threw everybody off. So We're going to push it back 2 weeks because it's still hot, and some people want to kind of, you know, get those last couple hot days in, so we're going to push that back a little bit. Another thing I want to talk about, you know, all this crying about quarterbacks. We was talking about Jamal Adams this morning. You know, people had enough nerve to show up on my timeline and talk about, Hugh, I can't believe that as a defender, you know, you're not defending the guys that are whining about all of this that's going on with the quarterbacks. Dude, it's always been like that with the quarterbacks. Now, I wholeheartedly believe in hitting the quarterbacks within the confines of the game. Now, if there's ever a situation where it's costing you money, I don't think that's bright. And I went back and I looked at the Jamal Adams hit. I looked at it. He could have pulled up on that, man. Like, the thing about it is this. I understand that, you know, as a defender, you're running all the way over there and you want to be rewarded for your efforts. You know, the quarterback throws the ball. That's kind of disheartening. You know, you want to put some hands on it. Dude, you can't do that anymore. The league has changed to the point where they are trying to protect the passers at all costs. There was even a story where a linebacker from Miami Dolphins said that one of the officiating crew told him that the linebacker was Raekwon McMillan. The ref basically told him, hey, man, keep your hands off of Tom Brady.
He said that?
Yeah, he told him. He told him. And the ref, he said it was Bill Vinovich's officiating crew. And they said, you know, they're trying to protect the quarterback. He told him, he said, listen, stay off of Brady. Stay off of Tom. Told him just like that. Dude, this game is driven by the quarterbacks. We had so much. Rich McKay basically told us that one time we were talking to him. And he said, hey, man, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if the quarterbacks are not out there playing, nobody wants to see that, man. Nobody wants to see these young men out there. Who was out there we was talking about earlier? Gardner Henshew or whatever? Nobody want to see him play, man. Nobody want to see that. But you got to, because he's the only thing to let. What's the other dude's name that's out there playing right now? I was about to say something else, some crazy name I was about to get. But Luke Falk, nobody want to see Luke Falk playing, man.
It's all these Washington State guys.
Oh, man, nobody want to see all that, man. He talk about, what was it, what was they called that, the run and shoot offense? What was that offense called? The wide open offense? I forgot the name. Air raid offense. That's what I couldn't think of the name, air raid. All these air raid quarterbacks and whatnot. Ain't nobody trying to see all that, man. We trying to see some real
quarterback play. Should we put green jerseys on them?
Play. Green jerseys?
Yeah, the quarterbacks.
Or you mean
don't touch.
Yeah, red, don't touch. I mean, that's how it is. Quarterbacks aren't used to getting touched. So when you do touch them within the confines of the game, that's what makes it so gratifying. But you still have to do it in the confines of the game. You can't do it outside of that. Another thing that I wanted to touch on today, the iPhone 11. Am I the only one that complains about this every year? Because every year it kind of feels like this is the case. Am I the only one out there who feels like your phone always breaks down when the new phone is starting to come out? And not only that, they always get you with the phone costing just a little bit more than the last phone cost. That makes it like they make the price up. They make the increments grow up just so much, a little bit, so that you really don't mind paying for that phone. And then they entice you with this, because I know I'm not the only one that's seen the iPhone 11 commercials where it didn't come out and say it, but it has alluded to the fact that the phone is more durable. Because, and I'm going to tell you why I'm thinking that, because did anybody see the commercial where they were throwing food at the phone, and how the lettuce hit the phone and all this other stuff hit the phone, and how the phone looked really durable? And then they alluded to the fact that you can get the phone wet. That's kind of what I got from it, because some of those vegetables that they threw at the phone were wet vegetables. Now, they didn't come out and say that, but I think it's reasonable to think that when they do all that the phone is a little bit more waterproof than the last phone. Am I wrong in my assessment?
I mean, they're not throwing sand on it.
Like Orton Sigma said, produce proof, waterproof. That's about the same thing, though, because vegetables are wet. Vegetables, for the most part, are wet. So that's what I'm thinking. And then they entice you with this 3-pixel camera thing, the 3 cameras. They're getting you with that. And then they got something else they're getting you with, John, that is called, they're trying to patent it. They went to the U.S. Patent Office, and they tried to trademark the term Slophy, where you could take slow motion action film. You know how when people try to do the slow-mo thing, like it's a Slophy. It's called Slophies. That right there might be the one that make you want to get the phone right there, the iPhone 11. But I just
got to get iOS 13, which is today, I think, right?
You're talking about the download?
Yeah.
Don't do that. The only reason I'm telling you that is because they say it's mighty funny. When you get the new download, that's when your phone usually goes screwy. Because the phone doesn't really, I guess it does, it's not really, you know, a depth well to the download. That's what it feels like. I don't know if any of this is true. All I know is that around the same time every year, I never have a case on my phone. But around the same time every year, and I've dropped it from time to time, and every time I dropped it, it doesn't break until right around the time that I'm available for a free upgrade.
Were they saying that one of the iOS updates, right, there was like the iPhone 7 or 8 came out, and they said that they were sending through the update something that was
like
killing
a little
your
virus.
Battery?
Yeah. That's what. And another thing with this new phone, it has a better battery life. But does anybody remember when phones used to be like $100 or like $200? Now, we are taking out loans to get iPhones. We are scheduling iPhone payments like we schedule mortgage payments. But we're going to do it. Like, we're going to do it because they got us. So I don't care if it's an iPhone or any other type of smartphone that you have. When it comes time, even if they tell you it's cheaper, how much cheaper is it, $300? You're still paying a grip or two for a phone. Well, you're still paying a grip of 10 for
iPhone
phone.
11 Pro is $1,249.
Yes. Guess how much the last one was, John? It was about $1,000? Like right at $1,000? That wasn't that long ago. Because I got my phone, it was right at $1,000. Now they're giving us $1,200. That's a car note. That's 2 months of car note payments right there. Damn near three, all depends on how much money you put down. Yeah, that's rent. That's a rent payment. We are paying rent for iPhones. Some people's iPhones look better than probably their apartment. Like, seriously, think about that for a minute. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's where we are in life right now. We are paying. I'm complaining about it. It's but guess true. What? Guess who's going to get a new phone when they come out? As soon as I get the upgrade for free. As soon as I'm eligible for the upgrade.
Of course you are.
Guess who's going to get one? Because I need it.
Yeah, because you got
Boy,
it.
Boy, I tell you, the iPhone thing is the biggest hustle out there. It really is, because you can't be without it.
I'm going to wait for iPhone 22.
Yeah, you'll be paying about two stacks, and you're going to do it with a smile on your face. That's the part about it. We do it with a smile on our face. We don't even complain about it.
This hour brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. Hey, we're going to be at Grindhouse on Saturday 9 to noon in front of College Football Game Time. Tomorrow, Andy and Randy are going to be there 10 to 2, Duke Savelle 2 to 7 at Grindhouse off Lumpkin in Athens ahead of Georgia and Notre Dame. Speaking of Andy and Randy, they're up top of the hour on Sports Radio 90 tonight, the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.